I really, really wanted to go.
It will give us a chance to talk. About things.
I stiffened. Shouldn't I be allowed some sort of grace period before I had to deal with whatever big explanation Howard had in store for me? Just being here was already putting me into overload. I turned to wipe the sweat off my forehead, hoping they wouldn't see how upset I was. I'm going back to the house. I started to walk away, but Sonia hurried after me.
Would you mind stopping by my place on your way? I have something that belonged to your mother, and I'd really love to give it to you.
I stepped sideways, putting an extra 6 inches between us. Sorry, but I really need to take a shower. Maybe some other time?
Oh.
The space between her eyebrows creased.
Sure. Just let me know when you have a minute. Actually, I could just...
Thanks a lot. See you around. I broke into a jog, Sonia's gaze heavy on my back. I didn't want to be rude, but I also really didn't want whatever it was she had for me. People were always giving me things that belonged to my mother, especially photographs, and I never knew what to do with them. They were like souvenirs of my previous life. I looked out over the cemetery and sighed. It's not like I needed any more reminders that things had changed. Chapter 4. As soon as I got inside, I headed straight for the kitchen. I had a feeling that if asked, Howard would give the standard mi casa su casa speech, probably with Italian pronunciation, so I skipped the asking and went straight to raiding the fridge. The top 2 shelves of the refrigerator were packed with things like olives and gourmet mustards, stuff that makes food taste good but isn't actually food. So I rifled through the drawers, finally coming up with a carton of what looked like coconut yogurt and a thick loaf of bread. I was pretty much devastated to not find any lasagna leftovers. After devouring half the bread and practically licking the bottom of the yogurt carton, hands down the best yogurt I've ever had, I looked through the cupboards until I found a box of granola that said, Cioccolato. Jackpot. Chocolate spoke to me in any language. I ate a huge bowl of the granola, then cleaned the kitchen like a crime scene. Now what? Well, if I were still in Seattle, I would probably be getting ready to go to the pool with Addie, or maybe pulling my bike out of the garage and demanding we go get one of those triple chocolate shakes I pretty much lived on. But here... I didn't even have the internet. Shower, I said aloud. Something to do. And besides, I really needed one. I went upstairs and grabbed the stack of towels from my bedroom, then went into the bathroom. It was incredibly clean, like maybe Howard scrubbed it every week with bleach. Maybe that was the reason he and my mom hadn't worked out. She'd been unbelievably messy. Like once, I'd found a Tupperware of pasta on her desk that had been sitting so long it had turned blue. Blue. I pulled back the shower curtain but had no idea what to do next. The shower head was tiny and flimsy-looking, and underneath it were 2 nozzles that read C and F. Cold and frigid? Chilly and frosty? I turned on the F and let it run for a few seconds, but when I put my hand under the stream, it was still ice-cold. Okay, so maybe C. Exact same results, maybe half a degree warmer. I groaned. Were freezing showers part of what Howard had meant when he'd said Italy wasn't on the cutting edge of technology? And what choice did I have? I'd traveled for a full day and then done one of the hardest speed workouts of my life. I had to shower. When in Rome, I gritted my teeth and jumped in. Cold! Cold! Ah! I grabbed a bottle of something off the edge of the tub and rubbed it over my hair and body, rinsing and jumping out of there as fast as I could. Then I grabbed the entire stack of towels and started wrapping myself up like a mummy. There was a knock on the door and I froze. Again. Who is it?
It's me, Sonia. Are you all right in there?
I grimaced. Yeah. Just having some water issues. Does this place not have hot water?
We do. It just takes a while. At my house, I sometimes have to let the water run for a good 10 minutes before it's ready. C stands for caldo. It means hot.
I shook my head. Good to know.
Listen, I'm sorry to bother you again, but I just wanted to tell you that I left the journal on your bed.
I froze. The journal? Wait, I'd probably just misheard her. Maybe she'd said the gerbil. A gerbil would be a totally thoughtful gift, and if I were giving someone a gerbil, I would definitely put it...
Lena, did you hear me? I brought you a journal that...
Just a minute, I said loudly. Okay, she definitely said journal. But that didn't mean it was any journal in particular. People gave each other journals all the time. I quickly dried off and got dressed. When I opened the door, Sonia was standing in the hallway holding a potted plant. You got me a new journal? I asked hopefully.
Well, an old one. It's a notebook that belonged to your mother.
I slumped against the doorway. You mean like a big leather one with lots of writing and photographs?
Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
Her forehead scrunched up.
Is it something you've already looked at?
I ignored her question. I thought you were just going to give me one of her photographs or something.
I actually do have a photograph of hers, but it's hanging on the wall in my guest bedroom, and I don't have any plans to part with it. It's a close-up of the Wall of the Missing. Quite a beautiful shot. You should come see it sometime.
Apparently, the Wall of the Missing was a big deal around here. Why do you have one of her journals? My voice came out kind of bad cop-sounding, but she just bobbed her head.
She sent it to the cemetery back in September. There wasn't a note, and the package wasn't addressed to anyone, but when I opened it, I recognized it right away. When she was living at the cemetery, she carried that journal around everywhere.
Living at the cemetery?
Anyway, I thought about giving it to your dad, but your mom had always been kind of a taboo subject. Whenever I brought her up, he got...
What? She sighed.
It was hard on him when she moved out. Really hard. And even after all these years, I was nervous about bringing her up. Anyway, I stalled for a couple of days, and then your dad told me about the plan for you to come stay here. That's when I realized why she'd sent the journal.
She gave me a funny look, and suddenly I realized that I'd been slowly gravitating toward her. We were only like 5 inches apart. Oops. I sprang back, and questions started flying out of my mouth. My mom lived at the cemetery? For how long?
Not very long. Maybe a month or so. It was right after your dad got the job. He'd just barely moved into this house.
So they were, like, together? It wasn't like a one-night stand between friends or something? That was Addie's theory.
Sonia cringed. No. I don't think it was... that. They seemed very in love. Your dad adored her.
So then why did she leave? Was it because she was pregnant? Howard wasn't ready to be a dad?
No. Howard would have been a great dad. I thought...
She put her hands up.
Wait a minute. Haven't they talked to you about what happened? Your mom didn't explain things?
I dropped my head. I don't know anything. I didn't even know Howard was my dad until after my mom died. Great. Now I was going to cry. Losing my mom had turned me into a human faucet, the regular hot-cold kind.
Oh, Lena, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I assumed they'd talk to you about what happened. To be honest, I don't even really know what went wrong. It seemed like their relationship ended pretty suddenly, and then your dad never wanted to discuss it.
Did he ever talk about me? Before now? She shook her head, her long dangly earrings swinging back and forth.
No. I was pretty surprised when I heard about you coming to live here. But you really need to talk to Howard. I'm sure he'll answer all of your questions. And maybe the journal will, too.
She held the flower pot out to me.
I went into town early this morning, and your dad asked me to pick these up for you. He said your room was missing flowers, and that violets were your mother's favorite.
I took them from her and studied them suspiciously. The flowers were deep purple and had a subtle scent. I was 99% sure my mom hadn't had any special feelings for violets.
Would you rather I keep the journal for a while? It sounds like it's a lot to process. Maybe you should spend some time talking to your dad first. I shook my head, slowly at first, and then more forcefully. No, I want it. Technically, a lie. I'd packed up the rest of her journals several months earlier when I'd finally given up on the idea that I'd ever be able to read them without falling apart. But I had to read this one. She'd sent it to me. I blinked a couple of times, then put on my best, I'm in control now smile for Sonia, who was looking at me with the expression of a hapless bystander trapped in a hallway by an emotionally unstable teenager. Which she was. I cleared my throat. It'll be nice. I can read about what she did while she was in Italy. Her expression softened.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure that's why she sent it. You'll be experiencing Florence just like she did, and maybe it will be a nice connection.
Yeah, maybe. If I could make it past the first page without falling apart.
Lena, it really is great having you here. And stop by any time to see that photograph of your mother's.
She walked to the top of the stairs and then looked back.
I meant to tell you, it's best to water violets from the bottom. Just fill up a saucer and set the whole pot in there. That way you won't overwater. They could probably use a drink right away.
Thanks, Sonia. And I'm, sorry for all those questions.
I understand. And I really liked your mother. She was pretty special.
Yeah, she was. I hesitated. Would you mind not mentioning this conversation to Howard? I don't want him to think I'm, mad at him or something. Or instigate any awkward conversations that aren't strictly necessary.
She nodded. My lips are sealed. Just promise me you'll talk to him. He's a great guy, and I'm sure he'll answer any questions you have.
Okay. I looked away, and there were a long few seconds of silence.
Have a nice day, Lena.
She went down the stairs and out the front door, but I just stood there staring at my bedroom door. It was practically glowing with urgency. Cue panic. It's just one of her journals. You can do this. You can do this. I finally started making my way down the hall, but at the last minute veered toward the stairs, the violets teetering dangerously. I had some seriously thirsty violets on my hands. Sonia had said so. I'd just take care of that first. I plummeted down the stairs, then looked through the cupboards twice before finding a shallow dish big enough for the flower pot. Here you go, buddy. I filled the dish with an inch of tap water, F, and set the pot aside. My violets didn't seem particularly interested in having company, but I sat down at the kitchen table and watched them anyway. I wasn't stalling. Really. Chapter 5. Journaling was kind of my mom's thing. Well, a lot of things were kind of her thing. She also liked hot yoga and food trucks and really terrible reality TV shows. And once she'd gotten really into the idea of homemade beauty products, and we'd basically spent a month with coconut oil and mashed avocado all over our faces. But journaling, that was a constant. A couple of times a year she'd splurge on one of these thick artist notebooks from our favorite bookstore in downtown Seattle, and then she'd spend months filling it with her life. Photographs, diary entries, grocery lists, ideas for photo shoots, old ketchup packets, anything you could think of. And here was the strange part. She let other people read them. And even stranger, people loved to. Maybe because they were creative and hilarious, and after you read one, you felt like you'd just taken a trip through Wonderland or something. I walked into my bedroom and stood at the foot of my bed. Sonia had left the journal right in the center of my pillow, like maybe she was worried I wouldn't notice it otherwise, and it was weighing down the bed like a pile of bricks. Ready? I said aloud. I was definitely not ready, but I walked over and picked it up anyway. The cover was made of soft leather and had a big gold fleur-de-lis in its center. It didn't look anything like her journals back home. I took a deep breath, then cracked open the cover, half expecting confetti to come shooting out at me,
But all that happened was a bunch of brochures and ticket stubs fell out onto the floor, and I got a whiff of something musty. I picked up all the papers, then started flipping through the pages, ignoring the writing and focusing on the photographs. There was my mother standing in front of an old church with her camera slung over her shoulder, and there she was grinning over a gigantic bowl of pasta. And then, Howard. I practically dropped the book. Okay, of course he was in her journal. It's not like I'd appeared out of thin air, but still, my mind totally resisted the idea of the two of them together. I studied the picture. Yep, it was definitely him. Younger, longer-haired, and was that a tattoo on his upper arm? But definitely Howard. He and my mom were sitting on stone steps, and she had short hair and old Hollywood lipstick and this I've-been-swept-off-my-feet kind of look. I sat down on my bed with a thud. Why hadn't she just told me her and Howard's story herself? Did she think that her journal would do a better job? Was she worried I wasn't ready to hear their story? I hesitated for a moment, then shoved the journal in the drawer of my nightstand and shut it with a loud slam. Well, I wasn't ready. Not yet. A car alarm burst into full vibrato somewhere in the cemetery, and the sound rained down on my head like a thousand tiny glorias. This headache brought to you by jet lag and stress. Thanks, Italy. I rolled over and looked at the clock on the wall. 3 p.m., which left me with so much time to kill, it was ridiculous. I slowly got out of bed, then went over to my suitcase and made a half-hearted attempt at organizing my things. Shirts in the right-hand corner, pants in the left, pajamas over there. I'd done a horrible job packing, and it was all basically a jumble. Finally, I settled on putting a couple of pictures of my mom and me into my room's empty frames, then laced up my shoes and headed for the front porch. I didn't have a plan of where to go, so I just sat on the porch swing and rocked for a while. I had a good view of the memorial. It was a long, low building with a stretch of engravings that I would bet money went by the name of Wall of the Missing. Out in front of it was a tall post with a statue of an angel holding an armful of olive branches. Two men stood taking pictures in front of it, and one of them noticed me and waved. I waved back, but jumped up and headed for the back fence. I really didn't have it in me to handle another Jorgensen situation. The back gate was easy to find, and as I headed out, I realized that Sonia hadn't been kidding. The hill behind the cemetery was steep. For the second time that day, sweat dripped down my back, but I forced myself to keep running. I will conquer you, hill. Finally, I reached the top, my legs and lungs on fire. I was just about to keel over when a thud-thud noise made my neck snap up. I wasn't alone. There was a boy playing with a soccer ball. He was my age, maybe a little older, and he was at least 3 months overdue for a haircut. He wore shorts and a soccer jersey and was juggling the soccer ball back and forth from knee to knee, singing quietly in Italian to whatever was playing on his headphones. I hesitated. Could I sneak away without him noticing me? Maybe a tuck-and-roll type escape? He looked up at me, and we made eye contact. Great. Now I had to keep going or look like a weirdo. I nodded at him and walked quickly along the path like I was late to a meeting or something. Totally natural. People were probably always hurrying off to important meetings on the top of Italian hills. He pulled off his headphones, his music blaring.
Hey, are you lost? The Bella Vita Hostel is just down the road.
I stopped. You speak English?
Just a bit.
He said with an exaggerated Italian accent. Are you American?
Sort of.
I studied him. He sounded American, but he looked about as Italian as a plate of meatballs. Medium height, olive skin, and a distinct nose. What was he doing here? But then again, what was I doing here? For all I knew, the Tuscan countryside was crawling with displaced American teenagers. He crossed his arms and scowled. He was imitating me. Rude. I dropped my stance. What do you mean by sort of American?
My mom's American, but I've lived here most of my life. Where are you from?
Seattle, but I'm living here for the summer.
Really? Where?
I pointed in the direction I'd come from.
The cemetery?
Yeah. Howard, my dad, is the caretaker. I just got here. He raised an eyebrow.
Spooky.
Not really. It's more of a memorial. All the graves are from World War II, so it's not like there are burials going on. Why was I defending the cemetery? It was spooky. He nodded, then put his headphones back on. Guess that was my cue. Great to meet you, mysterious Italian-American. Guess I'll see you around.
I'm Lorenzo.
I blushed. Apparently, Lorenzo had sonic hearing. Nice to meet you, I tried to repeat his name, but got stuck on the second syllable. He'd made this rolling sound with that R that my tongue refused to do. Sorry, I can't say it right.
That's okay. I go by Ren anyway.
He grinned.
Or mysterious Italian-American. That works too.
Arg. Sorry about that.
What about you? Do you go by Carolina, or do you have a nickname too?
For a second, I felt like I was in a dream. A weird one. No one but my mother or teachers on the first day of school ever called me by my full name. How do you know my name? I said slowly. Who was this guy?
I go to AISF. Your dad came in to ask about enrollment. Word spread.
What's AISF?
The American International School of Florence.
I exhaled. Oh, right. The high school. The school I'd theoretically attend if I decided to stay longer than just the summer. So theoretical. Like, not even in the realm of possibility.
It's actually kindergarten through high school, and our classes are really small. There were only 18 of us last year, so new students are a big deal. We've been talking about you since January. You're kind of a legend. One guy, Marco, even claimed you as his biology partner. He totally bombed his final project, and he kept trying to blame it on you.
That's really weird.
You don't look anything like I thought you would.
Why?
You're really short, and you look Italian.
Then how'd you know to speak to me in English?
Your clothes.
I looked down. Leggings and a yellow t-shirt. It's not like I was dressed as the Statue of Liberty or something. What's so American about my outfit?
Bright colors, running shoes.
He waved his hand dismissively.
Give it a month or two. You'll totally get it. A lot of people here won't go anywhere unless they're wearing something Gucci.
But you're not wearing Gucci or whatever, right? You're in soccer clothes. He shook his head.
Soccer clothes are exempt. They're about as Italian as they get. Plus, I am Italian, so everything naturally looks stylish on me.
I couldn't tell if he was joking or not.
Weren't you supposed to transfer to AISF in February?
He asked. I decided to finish out the school year in Seattle. He took his phone out of his back pocket.
Can I take a picture of you?
Why?
Proof that you exist.
I said no at the exact moment he took the picture.
Sorry about that, Carolina,
he said, sounding very unsorry.
You should really speak up.
You're saying my name wrong. It looks like Carolina, but it sounds like Carolina, and I go by Lena.
Carolina, Carolina. I like it. Very Italian sounding.
He put his headphones back on, then tossed his ball in the air and started playing again. Ren definitely needed some etiquette classes or something. I turned to walk away, but he stopped me again.
Hey, do you want to come meet my mom? She's basically starving for American company.
No, thanks. I have to get back soon to meet up with Howard. He's taking me into Florence for dinner.
What time?
I don't know.
Most restaurants don't even open until 7. I promise we won't be gone that long.
I turned back toward the cemetery, but the thought of facing Howard or the journal again made me shudder. Is it far?
No, just right over there.
He pointed vaguely at a group of trees.
It will be fine, and I promise I'm not a serial killer or anything.
I grimaced. I didn't think you were, until now.
I'm way too scrawny to be a serial killer.
Also, I hate blood.
Ew. I looked back at the cemetery again, mentally weighing my options. Emotionally challenging journal, or visit with a socially inept potential serial killer's mother. Either option was pretty grim. Okay, I'll come with you, I relented.
Nice.
He tucked his soccer ball under his arm and we headed for the other side of the hill. He was only about a head taller than me, and we both walked quickly.
So when did you get here again?
Last night.
So you're pretty much jet-lagged within an inch of your life right now, right?
I actually slept okay last night, but yeah, I kind of feel like I'm underwater. And I have maybe the worst headache of my life.
Wait until tonight. The second night is always the worst. Around 3 a.m. you're going to be wide awake, and you'll have to think of weird stuff to keep yourself occupied. Once, I climbed a tree.
Why?
My laptop was out of commission, and the only other thing I could come up with was playing solitaire, and I suck at that.
I'm really good at solitaire.
And I'm really good at climbing trees. But I don't believe you. No one is good at solitaire unless they cheat.
No, I really am. People stopped playing games with me when I was in, like, second grade, so I taught myself how to play solitaire. On a good day, I can finish a game in, like, 6 minutes.
Why did people stop playing games with you when you were in second grade?
Because I always win. He stopped walking, a big grin on his face.
You mean because you're really competitive?
I didn't say that. I just said I always win.
Uh-huh. So you haven't played a game since you were, like, 7?
Just solitaire.
No Go Fish? Uno? Poker?
Nothing.
Interesting. Look, that's my house. Race you to the gate.
He broke into a run. Hey! I took off after him, lengthening my stride until I caught up and then passed him, and I didn't slow down until I hit the gate. I whirled around triumphantly. Beat you! He was standing a few yards back, that stupid grin still on his face.
You're right. You're totally not competitive.
I scowled. Shut up.
We should play Go Fish later.
No.
Mahjong? Bridge?
What are you, an old lady? He laughed.
Whatever you say, Carolina. And by the way, that isn't really my house. It's that one over there.
He pointed to a driveway in the distance.
But I'm not racing you there because you're right. You'd win.
Told you. We kept walking, only now I just felt stupid.
So what's the deal with your dad?
Wren asked.
Hasn't he been the caretaker at the cemetery for, like, forever?
Yeah, he said it's been 17 years. My mom died, so that's why I came to live with him. Ah, I mentally clamped my hand over my mouth. Lena, stop talking. Bringing up my mom was a surefire way to create awkwardness around people my age. Adults got sympathetic, teenagers got uncomfortable. He looked at me, his hair falling into his eyes.
How'd she die?
Pancreatic cancer.
Did she have it for a long time?
No. She died 4 months after we found out.
Wow. Sorry.
Thanks. We were quiet for a moment before Wren spoke again.
It's weird how we talk about that. I say, I'm sorry, and you say, thanks.
I'd had that exact thought maybe 100 times. I think it's weird, too, but it's what people expect you to say.
So what's it like?
What?
Losing your mom.
I stopped walking. Not only was this the first time anyone had ever asked me that, but he was looking at me like he actually wanted to know. For a second, I thought about telling him that it was like being an island, that I could be in a room full of people and still feel alone, an ocean of hurt trying to crash in on me from every direction. But I swallowed the words back as quickly as I could. Even when they ask, people don't want to hear your weird grief metaphors. Finally, I shrugged my shoulders. It really sucks.
I bet it does. Sorry.
Thanks. I smiled. Hey, we just did it again.
Sorry.
Thanks. He stopped in front of a set of curlicue gates, and I helped him push them open with a loud creak.
"You weren't kidding. Your house is close to the cemetery," I said.
"I know. I always thought it was weird that I live so close to a cemetery. And then I met someone who lives in a cemetery."
"I couldn't let you beat me. It's my competitive nature."
He laughed.
"Come on."
We walked up the narrow, tree-lined driveway, and when we got to the top, he held both arms out in front of him.
"Ta-da! Casa mia."
I stopped walking. "This is where you live?" He shook his head grimly.
"Unfortunately. You can laugh if you want. I won't be offended."
"I'm not going to laugh. I think it's kind of interesting." But then a tiny snort slipped through, and the look Ren shot me pretty much blew my composure to pieces.
"Go ahead. Get it all out. But people who live in cemeteries really shouldn't be throwing stones, or whatever that saying is."
Finally, I stopped laughing long enough to catch my breath. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. It's just really unexpected." We both looked back up at the house, and Ren sighed wearily while I did my best not to insult him again. Just this morning, I'd thought I lived in the weirdest place possible, but now I'd met someone who lived in a gingerbread house. And I don't mean a house sort of loosely inspired by a gingerbread house. I mean a house that looked like you could possibly break off a couple of its shingles and dip them in a glass of milk. It was two stories high, with a stone exterior and thatched roof lined with intricate gingerbread trim. Candy-colored flowers blanketed the yard, and small lemon trees were planted in cobalt-blue pots around the perimeter of the house. Most of the main floor windows were stained glass, with swirling peppermint patterns, and there was a giant candy cane carved into the front door. In other words, picture the most ridiculous house you can imagine, and then add a bunch of lollipops.
"What's the story?"
Ren shook his head again.
"There has to be one, right? This eccentric guy from upstate New York built it after making a fortune on his grandmother's fudge recipe. He called himself the Candy Baron."
"So he built himself a real-life gingerbread house?"
"Exactly. It was a present for his new wife. I guess she was like 30 years younger than him, and she ended up falling for a guy she met at a truffle festival in Piedmont. After she left him, he sold the house. My parents just happened to be looking, and of course, a gingerbread house was just the right kind of weird for them."
"Did you guys have to kick out a cannibalistic witch?" He gave me a funny look. "You know, like the witch in Hansel and Gretel?"
"Oh."
He laughed.
"No, she still comes to visit on major holidays. You met my grandmother, right?"
"I'm so telling her you said that."
"Good luck. She doesn't understand a single word of English, and whenever she's around, my mom conveniently forgets how to speak Italian."
"Where's your mom from?"
"Texas. We usually spend summers in the States with her family, but my dad had too much work for us to go this year."
"So that's why you sound so American?"
"Yep. I pretend to be one every summer."
"Does it work?" He grinned.
"Usually. You thought I was American, didn't you?"
"Not until you talked."
"That's what counts, though, right?"
"I guess so." He led me to the front door, and we walked inside.
"Welcome to Villa Caramella. Caramella means candy."
"Holy books." It was like a librarian's worst nightmare. The entire room was lined with floor-to-ceiling bookcases, and hundreds, maybe thousands, of books were mashed haphazardly into the shelves.
"My parents are big readers,"
Ren said.
"Also, we want to be prepared if there's ever a robot uprising and we need to hide out. Lots of books equals lots of kindling."
"Smart."
"Come on, she's probably in her studio."
We made our way through the piles of books to a set of double doors that opened to a sunroom. The floor was shrouded in drop cloths, and there was an ancient-looking table holding tubes of paint and a bunch of different ceramic tiles.
"Mom?"
A female version of Ren lay curled up on a daybed. Yellow paint streaked through her hair. She looked about 20 years old, maybe 30.
"Mom."
Ren reached down and shook her shoulder.
"Mama."
She's kind of a deep sleeper, but watch this.
Bending close to her face, he whispered,
I just saw Bono in the Tavernuzze.
Her eyes snapped open, and in about half a second, she'd scrambled to a standing position. Ren cracked up.
Lorenzo Ferrara, don't do that!
Carolina, this is my mom, Odette. She was a U2 groupie. Followed them around for a while in the early 90s while they were on tour in Europe. Clearly, she still has strong feelings for them.
I'll show you strong feelings.
She reached for a pair of glasses and slipped them onto her nose, giving me a once-over.
Oh, Lorenzo, where did you find her?
We just met on the hill behind the cemetery. She's living here with her dad for the summer.
You're one of us.
American? I asked. Expatriate. Hostage was more like it, but that wasn't the sort of thing you told someone you'd just met.
Wait a minute.
She leaned forward.
I heard you were coming. Are you Howard Mercer's daughter?
Yes, I'm Lena.
Her full name is Carolina,
Ren added. Just call me Lena.
Well, thank the heavens, Lena. We need more Americans here.
Preferably live ones, she said, waving her hand dismissively in the direction of the cemetery.
I'm so glad to meet you. Have you learned any Italian?
I memorized, like, 5 phrases on the flight over.
What are they?
Ren asked. I'm not saying them in front of you. I'll probably sound like an idiot. He shrugged.
Che peccato.
Odette grimaced. Promise me you'll never use even one of those phrases in this house. I'm spending the summer pretending to be somewhere other than Italy. Ren grinned.
How's that working out for you? You know, with your Italian husband and children?
She ignored him.
I'm going to get us some drinks. You two make yourselves comfortable.
She squeezed my shoulder, then walked out of the room. Ren looked at me.
Told you she'd be happy to meet you.
Does she really hate Italy?
No way. She's mad that we can't go to Texas this summer, but every year it's the same thing. We get there, and she spends 3 months complaining about the terrible food and all the people she sees wearing their pajamas in public.
Who wears their pajamas in public?
Lots of people. Trust me. It's like an epidemic.
I pointed to the table. Is she an artist?
Yeah. She paints ceramics, mostly scenes of Tuscany. There's a guy in Florence who sells them in his shop, and tourists pay like a gazillion dollars for them. They'd probably have a conniption if they found out they're done by an American.
He picked up a tile and handed it to me. She painted a yellow cottage nestled between 2 hills. This is really pretty.
You should see upstairs. We have a whole wall of tile that she's replacing one by one with the ones she's worked on.
I set the tile down. Are you artistic?
Me? No, not really.
I'm not either, but my mom was an artist, too. She was a photographer.
Cool. Like family portraits and stuff?
No, mostly fine art kinds of stuff. Her work was displayed in galleries and at art shows, places like that. She taught in colleges, too.
Nice. What was her name?
Hadley Emerson. Odette reappeared carrying 2 cans of Orange Fanta and an open sleeve of cookies.
Here you go. Ren goes through about a pack of these a day. You'll love them.
I took one. It was a sandwich cookie with vanilla on one side and chocolate on the other, an Italian Oreo. I bit into it, and a choir of angels started singing. Did Italian food have some kind of fairy dust that made it way better than its American counterparts?
Give her more,
Ren said.
She looks like she's going to eat her arm.
Hey, I started. But then Odette handed me the rest of the cookies, and I was too busy eating to properly defend myself. Odette smiled.
I love a girl who can eat. Now, where were we? Oh, I didn't really introduce myself, did I? I swear this place is turning me into a savage. I'm Odette Ferrara. It's like Ferrari, but with an A. Pleased to meet you.
She extended her hand, and I wiped crumbs off mine so we could shake.
Can we talk about air conditioning and drive-through restaurants? Those are the 2 things I've been missing most this summer.
You never even let us eat fast food when we're in the States,
Ren says.
That doesn't mean I don't eat it. And whose side are you on anyway, mine or the signore's? No comment.
Who's the signore? I asked.
My dad. I have no idea how they ended up together. You know those weird animal friendship videos where a bear and a duck become best friends? They're kind of like that.
Odette cackled. Oh, come on. We're not that different. But now I'm curious. In that scenario, would you consider me the bear or the duck?
I'm not going there.
Odette turned to me. So what do you think of my wren? I swallowed and handed the rest of the cookies to Wren, who was eyeing them like they were his precious. He's very friendly.
And handsome, too, isn't he?
Mom?
I felt myself blush a little. Wren was cute, but in that kind of way you don't really notice at first. He had deep brown eyes fringed with ridiculously long lashes, and when he smiled, he had a little gap between his front teeth. But again, that wasn't the sort of thing you told someone you just met. Odette waved her hand at me.
Well, we're so glad to have you in town. I'm pretty sure Wren has been having the most boring summer of his life. I told him just this morning that he needs to get out more. Come on, Mom. It's not like I just sit home all day.
All I know is that once a certain ragazza went out of town, you suddenly had no interest in going out.
I go out when I feel like it. Mimi has nothing to do with it.
Who's Mimi? I asked.
His crush, Odette said in a stage whisper.
Mom,
Wren growled.
I'm not nine.
A phone started ringing, and Odette began pulling papers and art supplies off the table.
Where in the... Pronto!
A little girl appeared in the doorway wearing a pair of ruffled underpants and black dress shoes.
I pooped!
Odette gave her a double thumbs up and then walked into the house, speaking on the phone in rapid Italian. Wren groaned.
Gabriella, that is so embarrassing. Get back in the bathroom. We have company here.
She ignored him, turning to me instead.
Tu chi sei?
She doesn't speak Italian,
Wren said.
She's American.
Anch'io, are you Lorenzo's girlfriend? She asked.
No, I just met him when I was out for a walk. My name's Lena. She studied me for a minute.
You're kind of like a principessa. Maybe like Rapunzel because of your crazy hairs.
It's hair, not hairs, Gabriella,
Wren said.
And it's not nice to tell someone their hair is crazy.
My hairs are crazy, I confirmed.
Do you want to see my crichetto?
Gabriella ran over and grabbed my hand.
Come now, principessa. You will really like him. His furs are so soft.
Sure. Wren put his hand on her shoulder.
Carolina, no. And Gabriella, she doesn't want to. She has to leave soon.
I don't mind. I like kids.
No, seriously, trust me. Going into her room is like stepping into a time warp. Before you know it, you'll have been playing Barbies for like 5 hours, and you'll be answering to Princess Sparkle.
Non è vero, Lorenzo. You're so mean.
Wren answered in Italian, and Gabriella gave me a betrayed look and then ran out of the room, slamming the door behind her.
What's a crichetto?
In English, a hamster, I think. Little annoying animal, runs on a wheel.
Yep. Hamster.
She's cute. Sometimes she's cute. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
No, but I used to babysit a lot for a family in my apartment building. They had triplet boys who were 5.
Whoa.
Whenever their mom left, she'd say, just keep them alive. Don't worry about anything else.
So you tied them up or something?
No. The first time I babysat, I wrestled them, and after that they loved me. Also, I always came over with my pockets full of fruit snacks. At my mom's funeral, one of the boys asked where I'd been, and his brother said, her mom is sleeping for a really long time. That's why she can't play with us anymore. My throat tightened at the memory. I'd better get going. Howard might wonder where I am.
Yeah, sure.
We walked back through the living room, and Wren stopped at the front door.
Hey, do you want to go to a party with me tomorrow?
I looked away, then quickly bent to tie my shoelace. It's just a party. You know, the things normal teenagers go to. Losing my mom had somehow made social events feel like a quick jaunt up Mount Everest. Also, I was doing an alarming amount of self-talk these days. I'll have to ask Howard, I finally said, straightening back up.
Okay, I can pick you up on my scooter. Around 8?
Maybe. I'll call you if I can go. I reached for the doorknob.
Wait, you need my number.
He grabbed a pen from a nearby table, then cupped my hand in his, writing his number quickly. His breath was warm, and when he finished, he held my hand for just a second longer. Oh. He looked up at me and smiled.
Ciao, Carolina. I'll see you tomorrow.
Maybe. I stepped out of the house and left without looking back. I was afraid he'd see the sparkly smile plastered across my face. Chapter 6. The whole Wren handholding thing had launched a teeny butterfly in my stomach, but all it took was 2 minutes in the car with Howard for the butterfly to fall flat. It was just so awkward. Howard had these big comb marks in his freshly showered hair, and he'd changed into a pair of slacks and a nicer shirt. I'd missed the memo on dressing up and was still wearing my t-shirt and sneakers.
Ready?
He asked. Ready.
Well then, off to Florence. You're going to love the city.
He popped a disc into his CD player. Who was still using CDs? And AC/DC's You Shook Me All Night Long filled the car. You know, the official soundtrack of Ignore How Uncomfortable Your First Father-Daughter Outing Is. According to Howard, the city was only about 7 miles away, but it took us like 30 minutes to get there. The road into town was packed with scooters and miniature cars, and every building we passed looked old. Even with the weird atmosphere in the car, excitement started building up in me like steam in a pressure cooker. Maybe the circumstances weren't ideal, but I was in Florence. How cool was that? When we got to the city, Howard pulled down a narrow one-way street, then pulled off the most impressive feat of parallel parking I'd ever witnessed. Like, he would have made a great driver's ed teacher if he weren't so into the whole cemetery thing.
Sorry about the long drive,
he said.
Traffic was bad tonight.
Not your fault. I practically had my nose pressed against the window. The street was made of gray crisscrossing square stones, and there was a narrow sidewalk on either side. Tall pastel-colored buildings were smashed close together, and all the windows had these adorable green shutters. A bike flew past on the sidewalk, practically clipping my side mirror. Howard looked at me.
Want to take the scenic route? See a little bit of the city?
Yes. I unclicked my seatbelt and then jumped out onto the street. It was still hot out, and the city smelled slightly of warm garbage, but everything was so interesting-looking that it was completely okay. Howard started up the sidewalk, and I trailed after him. It was like walking through a scene from an Italian movie. The street was lined with clothing stores and little coffee shops and restaurants, and people kept calling to one another from windows and cars. Halfway down the street, a horn beeped politely, and everyone cleared out of the street to make way for an entire family crowded onto a scooter. There was even a string of laundry hanging between two buildings, a billowy red house dress flapping right in the middle of it. Any second now, a director was going to jump out and yell, "Cut!"
There it is.
We turned a corner, and Howard pointed to a sliver of a tall building visible at the end of the street. There's what?
That's the Duomo. Florence's cathedral.
Duomo. It was like the mothership. Everyone was funneling into it, and we had to slow down even more the closer we got. Finally, we were in the middle of a large open space, and I was looking up at a gargantuan building half lit by the setting sun. Wow. That's really big, beautiful, impressive. It was all that and more. The cathedral was easily the size of several city blocks, and the walls were patterned in detailed carvings of pink, green, and white marble. It was 100 times prettier and more impressive and grander than any building I'd seen before. Also, I'd never used the word grander in my life. Nothing had ever required it before.
It's actually called the Cathedral of Santa Maria del Fiore, But everyone just calls it the Duomo.
Because of the domed roof? One side of the building was capped with an enormous orange-red circular roof.
No, but nice catch. Duomo means cathedral, and the word just happens to sound like dome in English, so a lot of people make that mistake. The cathedral took almost 150 years to build, and that was the largest dome in the world until modern technology came around. As soon as I get a free afternoon, we'll climb to the top.
What's that? I pointed to a much smaller octagonal building across from the Duomo. It had tall gold doors with carvings on them, and a bunch of tourists were taking pictures in front of them.
The baptistry. Those doors are called the Gates of Paradise, and they're one of the most famous works of art in the whole city. The artist's name was Ghiberti, and they took him 27 years to make. I'll take you on a tour of that, too.
He pointed to a street just past the baptistry.
Restaurant is right over there.
I followed Howard across a big open space. Piazza, he told me, and he held the restaurant's door open for me. A man wearing a necktie tucked into his apron looked up from behind his stand and stood a little straighter. Howard was like 2 feet taller than him.
And tonight how many?
He asked in a nasally voice.
Possiamo avere un tavolo per due?
The man nodded, then called to a passing server.
Buonasera,
the server said to us.
Buonasera. Possiamo stare sedute vicina alla cucina? Certo.
So, apparently my father spoke Italian. Fluently. He even rolled his R's like Ren. I tried not to stare at him as we followed our server to our table. I literally knew nothing about him. It was so weird.
Can you guess why I like it here?
Howard asked as we settled into our seats. I looked around. The tables were covered in cheap paper cloths, and there was an open kitchen with a wood-fire pizza oven blazing away. She's Got a Ticket to Ride was playing in the background. He pointed up at the ceiling.
They play the Beatles all day, every day, which means I get two of my favorite things together, pizza and Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. I noticed the framed Beatles records in your office. I gulped. Now he was going to think I'd been snooping, which technically I guess I had been. He just smiled.
My sister sent those as a gift a few years ago. She has 2 boys, 10 and 12. They live in Denver, and they usually come out every other summer or so.
Did they know about me? Howard must have had a similar thought, because there was a moment of silence, and then we both suddenly got super interested in our menus.
What do you want to order? I always get a prosciutto pizza, but everything here is good. We could get a few appetizers, or...
How about just a plain pizza? Cheese. Simple and quick. I wanted to get back out in Florence and keep this dinner as short as possible.
Then you should order the margarita. It's pretty basic, just tomato sauce, mozzarella, and basil.
That sounds good.
You're going to love the food here. Pizza here is in a whole different category from the stuff back home.
I set my menu down. Why?
It's really thin, and you get your own large pizza. And fresh mozzarella.
He sighed.
There's nothing like it.
He honestly had a dreamy look in his eyes. Did my more-than-a-friend love for food come from him? I hesitated. I guess it would be a good idea to at least sort of get to know him. He was my father, after all. So, where's back home?
I grew up in a small town in South Carolina called Due West, if you can believe it. It's about 150 miles from Adrian.
Is Due West where you rearranged all the traffic barricades and caused a traffic jam? He looked at me in surprise.
Your mom told you?
Yeah, she told me lots of stories about you. He chuckled.
There wasn't a lot to do in Due West, and unfortunately, I made the whole town pay for it. What other stories did she tell you?
She said you used to play hockey, and that even though you're pretty even-tempered, you used to get in fights on the ice.
Proof.
He turned his head and ran his finger across a scar that disappeared under his jawline.
This was one of my last games. I couldn't seem to keep it under control. What else?
You guys went to Rome, and the owner of a restaurant thought you were a famous basketball player, and you guys got a free meal.
I forgot about that. Best lamb I ever had. And all I had to do was take pictures with the kitchen staff.
Our server came over and took our order, then filled our glasses with fizzy water. I took a big swig and shuddered. Was it just me, or did carbonated water feel like liquid sparklers? Howard crossed his arms.
Forgive me for stating the obvious, but I can't believe how much you look like Hadley. Did people tell you that all the time?
Yeah. People sometimes thought we were sisters.
That doesn't surprise me. You even have her hands.
My elbows were resting on the table, one arm crossed over the other, and Howard suddenly jerked forward a couple of inches, like he'd gotten snagged on a fishing hook. He was staring at my ring. I shifted uncomfortably. Are you okay?
Her ring.
He reached out and almost touched it, his hand hovering an inch above mine. It was an antique, a slim gold band engraved with an intricate scrolling pattern. My mom had worn it until she'd gotten too thin to keep it on. I'd been wearing it ever since.
Did she tell you I gave her that?
No. I pulled my hand to my lap, my face heating up. Had she told me anything? Was it like an engagement ring or something?
No. Just a present.
There was another long silence, which I filled with unprecedented interest in the restaurant's decor. There were signed photographs of what were probably very famous Italian celebrities hanging all around the restaurant, and several aprons had been tacked to the wall. "We All Live in a Yellow Submarine" was playing overhead. My cheeks were boiling like a pot of marinara sauce. Howard shook his head.
"So, do you have a boyfriend at home who is missing you?"
"No."
"Good for you. Plenty of time to break hearts when you're older."
He hesitated.
"This morning, I was thinking I should make a call to the international school to see if anyone in your grade is around for the summer. It might be a good way to see if you're interested in going to the school."
I made a noncommittal sound, then took a special interest in a nearby photograph of a woman wearing a tiara and a thick sash. Miss Ravioli, 2015?
"I wanted to tell you, if you ever need someone to talk to here, someone other than me or Sonia, of course, I have a friend who lives in town. She's a social worker, and she speaks English really well. She told me she'd be happy to meet with you if you ever need, you know."
Great. Another counselor. The one I'd seen at home had pretty much just said, over and over, and asked me, "How did that make you feel?" until I thought my ears were going to melt. The answer was always, "Terrible." I felt terrible without my mom. The counselor had told me that things would slowly start to feel better, but so far, she was wrong. I started tearing up the edges of the paper tablecloth, keeping my eyes off the ring.
"Are you feeling comfortable here?"
I hesitated. "Yeah."
"You know, if you need anything, you can always just ask."
"I'm fine." My voice was gravelly, but Howard just nodded. After what felt like 10 hours, our server finally walked out and set 2 steaming pizzas in front of us. Each of them was the size of a large dinner plate, and they smelled unbelievable. I cut a piece and took a bite. All weirdness evaporated immediately. The power of pizza. "I think my mouth just exploded," I said. Or at least that's what I tried to say. It came out more like, "My mob just explode."
"What?"
Howard looked up. I shoveled in another bite. "This is the best." He was right. This pizza belonged in a completely different universe from the stuff I was used to.
"Told you, Lena. Italy is the perfect place for a hungry runner."
He smiled at me, and we both ate ravenously. Lucy in the sky with diamonds filling in for conversation. I had just taken an enormous bite when he said,
"You're probably wondering where I've been all this time."
I froze, a piece of crust in my hand. Is he asking what I think he is? This couldn't be the big unveiling moment. You don't go around telling your children why you weren't around while stuffing your face with pizza. I snuck a glance up. He'd set his fork and knife down and was leaning forward, his mouth set in a serious line. Oh, no. I swallowed. No, I haven't really wondered. Lie with a capital L. I stuffed the piece of crust into my mouth, but couldn't taste it.